Welcome to the ADHD and Alchemy podcast with your host, Paula Hurst. I'm here to be your guide as we talk about spiritual and holistic practices, mindset, meditation, and manifestation. This podcast is for conscious ADHD women, and I'm here to help you to rewire your thinking and block your limiting beliefs and become less scattered and more in control of how you show up and move forwards with intention. Now let's get into the episode. In this week's episode, I'll be sharing some of the universal laws and how getting to know and work with them can change your world. When you understand universal laws, many things begin to make sense, which is why I want to cover them today. For those of you who are new around here, my name is Paula and I inspire ADHD women to use manifestation and subconscious tools to create the life or business they love. But before we go any further, let's go behind the mic. So this week, I have been in my home country, the UK. I currently live in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, and I've lived in Dubai with my family for the past 4 years, almost 4 years. But before that, we lived in another Middle Eastern country called Kuwait, where we lived for 5 years. So we haven't actually lived in the UK for almost a decade now, but we still visit every year. We usually visit in the summer months when the kids are off on their school holidays and when living in the Middle East feels like you're living on the sun. But this year, we chose to go during the Easter break because my sister-in-law has just had a little baby and we wanted to go and visit him. Wanted to visit him whilst he's still a tiny baby. So we went back and we spent 5 days in Leeds, spending time with them, with Greg's side of the family. And then we went to Solihull in the Midlands to see my side of the family. We've been having a lot of fun, but now it's time to get back to life and back to business. So I'm not going to cover all of the universal or spiritual laws because there are many, and I don't like to make my episodes too long because I know how our minds can wander and I do want to have your full attention. So I'm going to cover some that will be useful to you right now, and then I'll expect to cover some more at a later date. You may already, of course, know these laws, but it's always nice to have a reminder. So the first law I will cover is the law of giving and receiving. Now, according to this law, there is always a flow in the universe, meaning just as the ocean ebbs and flows, where the tide goes out, it will always come back in. This is law. So giving without receiving and receiving without giving actually stops the natural flow and creates imbalance. But for some, it's difficult to receive. Like it might be difficult to ask for payment for your services or to receive help. But when you are not open to receiving, you're actually cutting off the abundant supply. And you're also denying another person their chance to keep the flow circulating. Now, I really struggled with this in 2018 when I first started my business. When it was time to charge someone, I actually felt like I was just asking them to give me money. That was until, of course, I learned this lesson. Once I learned this law, I began to work on myself. I'm regulating my nervous system to be okay with receiving money so that the abundance could flow. I also had a real scarcity issue back then too. Like I would only buy just enough of whatever I was buying, and I would find it hard to let go of money. Buying things would literally put me in a state of paralysis, not just from choosing a thing, but from trying to figure out if I had enough, if it would impact us, if I spent the money, if I really needed it, you know, all the things. But one summer, I decided to really work on this. And knowing that there is always a supply and that spending is giving,
paying your bills is giving, and that money is an energy that has to keep flowing, really helped. When I did this, when I was working on this, I started by telling myself there is always more. And this money is coming back to me tripled. Whenever I was spending money, I would say these things, and it took the stress and anxiety out of my thoughts and my body. And not only that, I remember that summer. That was the first summer we went back to the UK, me and the kids. We did so many things, yet somehow I came back with money still in my account when usually I would come back completely broke. So doing that work, telling yourself there is always more, money is always coming back to me, those kinds of things really work. And that is what I've taught my children. When my daughter, if ever she says, oh, I don't know whether to spend or save this money, and she's a good saver, I'll say, well, what happens with money when you spend it? And she'll say, well, it always comes back, and it always comes back. You get back what you give. So if you want more money, spending and giving more money are good things to do. However, there is a caveat to that. Energy is energy, and it's the energy behind the action that is doing the attracting. So when it comes to giving or spending, don't give or spend for money to come back to you. Don't give, do it for that reason, because unless you're really feeling abundant and unless you're actually in alignment, you may not receive back that financial abundance. We attract based on the energy we are putting out and the beliefs that are in our subconscious mind. When it comes to giving, do it because it's pleasurable for you to give, and you will receive back something that creates a pleasurable feeling for you. That is the law of attraction at work. The universe will always provide, and this law is circular. However, here's another thing for you to be aware of. When you're in a good place and the intention behind the act is good, it doesn't mean that you're going to get back exactly that thing. The universe uses frequencies. So if you're trying to attract, say, for example, clients, and then you start getting attention from, well, anyone, like people just want to hear your wisdom, or they want to be in your space all of a sudden, don't dismiss that or get mad about that, because you're beginning to attract, even if this wasn't specifically what you asked for. You can just thank the universe and ask again. And when you do receive it, you can say, thank you, more please, universe. And when I talk about money and spending money, I don't mean just be frivolous and just, you know, spend your last pennies because you think you're feeling abundant and you think you're in alignment, but check yourself here. You will know what I'm talking about is getting back to your natural state of abundance, where you really are abundant from the inside out. Like a few months ago, I wanted to attract money through my business. However, I ended up attracting it from somewhere else. It was the amount I desired. However, the way it came in was unexpected. It came from a friend paying me back what she owed rather than me getting it through my clients. I was grateful, of course. However, it did take a moment for me to catch my disappointment from not attracting that through clients. But remember, we can never know for sure how the thing will come in. So I just asked again. The universe will always take the path of least resistance to get you to your final destination. So next, the law of cause and effect. This is quite similar to the law of giving and receiving. It means the actions you take will always create some kind of a result, good or bad. This can be a heavy law when it comes to us ADHDers, especially for those of us who are more on the hyperactive and impulsive side of things, because the action can often come before the thought. And before you know it, you've done the thing you've said you wasn't going to do. And you know that it might not give you the outcome you want, right? You spent the money you put aside for something else. You maxed out your credit card. You've eaten the thing. You've not done the thing you said you were going to do. And by the way, the act of not doing is still the cause, right? Inaction is still action. And the effect of that is not going to be the result you wanted to have. In other words, for every action, there is a reaction. So when it comes to the way you feel, the thought is the cause. And following the thought gives you a feeling. And dependent on that feeling, you will take a certain action which will give you an end result or effect. There will always be an effect following a cause. It cannot be any other way, which is why it is a universal law. If someone is unpleasant to you and you've had a tough day at work, you get to decide the effect of that. You can decide whether you're going to let it go or whether you're going to keep it in your mind to ruminate on it. You get to decide whether you would change your state of mind because each of those things will give you a different result. So right now, you get to make the choice. You get to become consciously aware of the choices you are making and how they affect your future. And I know that this feels really unfair when you have a brain that is sometimes unwilling to do things, like it gets paralyzed or it's impulsive. But these laws still apply, and knowing this can be really helpful. Can be really helpful if we choose to see it in that way. Because we can at least make a plan when we're aware of what is going wrong and what causes us to not follow through. We can make a plan. Like, I know that in order to create a fulfilling life and business, there are certain things I have to do. And I know that I get distracted. So I use meditation to keep my head clear. I use body doubling to keep me focused and to stop me from being distracted. It also helps me to finish the desk tasks. I also have an electric scheduler, and I check this every night. And then the next day, I do my best to stick to it religiously because I know that this will give me the results. This will give me the long-term results I want to achieve. However, we can become lazy because we have habits and patterns, and it's very easy to fall back on your habits. When it comes to your habits, you don't have to do anything at all because they're just there as you, right? There is no effort required, and those habits turn to the patterns you see in your life. These patterns will show up in different guises until you make a solid effort to change them. Until you make a decision to make a new choice. So this law is very plain and simple. And you can become more conscious of this by being aware and working your way backwards from the effect. You then get to adjust the cause. When you're working backwards, ask yourself questions like, is this likely to be linked to a pattern I have? What might be the consequence of this action? Of course, remembering that your future depends on the actions you take or do not take today. Now, finally, the law of attraction. When it comes to the law of attraction, this simply means we attract into our life the things that are in alignment with our thoughts and our feelings. You're an energetic match to the people, the money, the circumstances that are on the frequency you are putting out. But you're a match to the true energy you put out. And that does not mean faking high vibe in order to attract. If you're pretending to be a cheerful, happy-go-lucky person, but on the inside, under the surface, you have messages and beliefs running that say, that is not me, I'm not worthy, I'm not deserving, then you will not attract the things you are calling in because energy never lies. Now you can begin to embody the person you are calling in. In other words, the energy of the you that has the thing, that is the thing you want. You can coach yourself, or you can employ a coach to coach you from the honest place you're in right now. You can begin to teach yourself to think like she does. In other words, to change your self-talk. And you can go back to episode 11 to hear what that's all about, to understand self-talk. You can make changes to who you are and how you think. And this is why I use hypnosis, visualization, and meditation as part of what I do with my clients, because they both allow you to create change at a subconscious level. And when you do this, you change energetically. And a good point to note here about the law of attraction is some people get scared by this law. They get scared to be themselves and feel the true feelings they have or think the true thoughts they have. They get scared to be themselves and to feel and think the true thoughts they have, because they get scared that they're going to manifest bad things because they're having a bad time. Now, first of all, remember that your manifestations are not instant. You're not going to start thinking about an extra 10K in your bank account and tomorrow it's there. And neither are you going to have a really bad day or week where all of your thoughts are negative and you're moaning and you're really not in a good frequency state. That does not mean that you are going to be penniless and living on the streets, right? If you're feeling a certain way, there'll be a reason for it. Work on the cause, feel the feeling so that you can move through it. And if this is your general state, maybe you have crappy things coming up for you, but that is okay. You can still work on that. You get to change your deep inner state. And when you do that, things will change in your outer world. It may be a slow process, but that is okay. Keep going, keep moving through it. Meditation can help with this, because according to Deepak Chopra, in his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, every time you go in and come out of meditation, it's like you're washing a little bit of the slate clean. You're cleaning up karmic episodes and these things and all the things that do not serve you. So go into meditation with the intention of clearing the path, of clearing the way. Do the things you need to do to feel better. Because when you feel better, well, you'll feel good, right? Naturally, you'll be in a naturally good feeling state. But don't fear what you are actually feeling. It's okay to have bad days, bad weeks. It's okay. Okay, so before I conclude this episode and take you into the ADHD corner, I want to just quickly break to remind you that I am on Instagram at ADHD_and_alchemy. Please follow me there, because that's where I'm going to be housing all of my audio recordings, visualizations, and meditations. And if you aren't on social media, don't worry, you're still going to be able to purchase these if you wish to. So let me conclude this episode with a little reminder. If you remember from my story in episode 5, where I talked about manifesting our move to Dubai, I was in the worst emotional state I'd ever been in. It was during the pandemic. I was scared. I couldn't shut off the feelings that were coming in through my daughter as well. I was feeling her feelings, and she was in a pretty bad mental state. She had panic attacks. She was eating the bare minimum. She had really high anxiety. Yet, even though I was feeling all that worry and anxiety for her and for myself, and just feeling all of the things, you remember that time, right? My manifestation still came through, because my inner state already said that I was worthy of my desire. I'd already done the work to truly believe that this could be my reality. And that is why it came through. So go on with your life. but work on yourself at the same time to change your inner state so that the outer world can catch up with where you are, with what you feel, with your energy. Do your best to pause before you take action. Make a plan so that you can move forwards without your ADHD brain tripping you up, and keep your manifestations in mind. Okay, so now let's move into the ADHD's corner. This week I've had an article that stated research suggests that the traits commonly associated with ADHD may have had evolutionary advantages for early humans, especially for foraging. A groundbreaking study is challenging the conventional view of ADHD by proposing that these traits are historical survival mechanisms. The research analyzed the behavior of hundreds of adults using a foraging game, right? They first scored these people on an ADHD scale, right? The people didn't know they were being scored to see if they likely had ADHD, but those of them who scored as having high ADHD tendencies did far better, meaning that they were far more efficient at foraging foods and quickly leaving food patches when they became depleted. Whereas the people with low ADHD tendencies didn't do so well at all, and they kept going and, you know, kept going and looking for foods when others had moved on. So the ADHD types were more efficient in finding food. Now, whilst there's still work to be done here, if you know me, you'll know that I am 100% of the mind that we are hunter-gatherers, and that our brains are just different. They're not disordered. It's just this world is set up for others in mind, for those who are farmer types, who are able to just do things consistently and in methodical way. The world has just moved in a way that doesn't so much work with our brain type, but that's okay. We're paving our own ways. We're learning to do things differently. That is why many of us choose to create businesses, so that we can pave our own way, so that we can be happier in creating a life, by creating a life that really works for us. If you're interested in hearing about the hunter-farmer theory, go back and listen to episode 4, Is ADHD a Disorder? But that's all for now. I'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of ADHD and Alchemy. I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me on Instagram at ADHD and Alchemy. And one last thing, can I ask you to rate this podcast and or share it on your stories so that other women just like you can benefit from this podcast? Thanks so much